Buenos días, señorita. My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people. Welcome to Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. Hey, Michael, mi amigo, pay attention, it's show time.
So it is.
5,000 light years from Birdland, but I'm still preaching the rhythm. Long gone up light years from Birdland, and I'm still teaching the rhythm. Years from the land of the bird, and I'm still feeling the spirit. 5,000 light years from Birdland, but I know people can hear it.
Bird made it, bird made it, bird heard it, band played it, well stated.
Goodness, you're all staring at us. We better start the show rolling.
In the middle of that hub, I remember one jazz club where we went to Pat Beach. Down on 52nd Street, everybody heard that word. That they named it after Bird, where the rhythm swoop and swirl, the jazz corner of the world. And the cast they gig in there were beyond compare. Birdland, I'm singing Birdland. Birdland, I'm swinging Birdland.
Hey, man, the music room turns you on.
You can.
And dumb me
a week of film listed fun, you're on
761-3333.
Why, don't be alarmed. It's only Michael, the Galactic Hitchhiker.
Hello, Paul. Sorry I'm late, but I was stuck in the black hole all morning.
This is going to sound strange, Michael. Maybe not to you, but I understand you're the Galactic Hitchhiker. However, did you have to get dropped off in a spaceship?
But don't blame me. It's not my ship. I just hitched a lift with the Silurians. The only way I can get here, you know?
I understand. Yeah.
Well, why does it smell like rancid beer in here? What gives?
Oh, that's from Paul and Tony Mackey a couple of weeks ago. We're still trying to clean up the mess.
And where's Dave Burbank anyway? The guy's always late. Thanks for a lift, fellas.
Yes, indeed he did.
Yes, indeed he did.
Yes, indeed, yes, indeed he did not show up yet. Where is that guy? I mean, where is he? Dave from Burbank, you have to bring the girls, Susie and Kathy. What? Wait a minute. What, is that him? Late as usual. I think I see him way down at the end of the road. Yeah, here he comes.
We're here! I'm sorry, Paul, was that yours?
What?
I've got the girls with me, look!
Oh, hi! I can't believe we made it!
God, and I thought you drove that
beat. Everybody stomps their feet. Everybody digs bebop, and they'll never stop. Down them stairs, lose them cares, yeah! Down in Birdland, total swing, Bob was king, yeah! Down in Birdland, Bird would cook, Max would look, yeah!
Oh, yeah, I'm really sorry about that, Paul. I didn't mean to, but I'm here anyway, okay?
What? Was that my car you hit?
Let's go to,
see you later. Hi, Susie, how are...
The window at the other side of the studio, you know that one big window?
Yeah, right. Right. Kathy,
your tires are flat.
Oh, I understand. Michael, how are you?
You realize you almost hit me?
Oh, my God.
How can they hit us?
Paul, what is this
Scott.
It's Michael, the Galactic Hitchhiker. How are you, Mike?
All right. If you like being me, which personally I don't.
Why are those towels for you? Is that Michael?
Explain your towels, Michael.
Actually, I stole it from a hotel in Beetlejuice 5, you know?
Tell us the P.O. Box.
You can write to us at P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023.
And Susie?
That's like way out, and we are here for the week of the 18th to the 22nd, 1983.
Wonderful. Kathy?
Hey.
Hey, Dave. Let's get in with a tape for yes, another week of film listed fun.
We'll be right back after this message.
Fashion State, manufacturers for the selfish, sufficient 70s, announces now for the men, Nuke of the Loom, nuclear underwear and atomic briefs. That's right, Nuke of the Loom, nuclear underwear and atomic briefs. These briefs are made of 10% rayon, 10% crayon, 10% polyester Williams for easy washing, and 70% radium, which gives your gluteus maximus that glowing, cheeky look. That's right. Now she'll be able to find both your watch and you in the dark. That's Nuke of the Loom, nuclear underwear and atomic briefs, cut in two styles, one for the man with balls, and the second in the new Santa Monica Boulevard style, tapered for the modern man who is both bisexual and bionic. Nuke of the Loom, nuclear underwear and atomic briefs. Be the first on your block to have an atomic bum. Nuke of the Loom, nuclear underwear and atomic briefs is brought to you by Fashion State. When fashion dictates, you're living in a fashion state.
Hi, Paul and everybody else. This is Jerry Tarzana. And I want to tell you, I just got back from New York. And I'm always talking about Andy Warhol movies. And in New York, I met Andy Warhol, and now I love him a billion, zillion times more. He is the neatest person in the whole world, and God, I'm dying. See, everybody on Z Channel, all of a sudden, Andy Warhol's Bad is coming on, and God, I can't even talk anymore. And on the airplane, I saw War Games, and it was a lot better than I thought it was. Would be. It's a real good movie, but love Andy Warhol. He is God. Bye-bye.
This is Nani Baker from Pasadena, California.
Ooh, Nani.
I would like to talk about the movie Mortuary.
Go right ahead.
Now, Mortuary didn't have nothing to do about its commercial.
Aww.
It didn't even show nobody falling into a graveyard, you know.
Aww.
I mean, that movie didn't have nothing to do about a graveyard.
Oh, well.
The only time they were in the graveyard was when the girl's father died.
Oh, well.
And the reason why he died was really stupid, you know.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Go ahead, tell me.
I didn't pay for that movie. I wouldn't have sat there and watched it because it was scary some parts. I'm telling you, it was scary because I
threw
up all over the theater. But it's just that they had fake advertisements. Now,
well,
I think there's going to be a part two of Mortuary.
Really?
But
it wasn't good.
I think, well, in my opinion, I think the scenes in the commercial have to do with part two instead of part one.
I see.
The commercial didn't have nothing to do with Mortuary.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Right.
They didn't show an old man shoveling dirt in the grave and get pulled down in the grave. All they showed is some wacko going around killing this girl's family and his family, you know.
Oh, well.
You know, it was scary.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? In
mm-hmm.
some parts, but not all parts.
Yeah.
And if I rated Mortuary between 1 through 10.
An 8, right?
I would give it about an 8.
Yeah, uh-huh.
The only thing messed up was the fake advertisement.
Oh, well.
This is Lindsay Baker from Pasadena, California.
Yeah,
thank
get it
you.
Right. I can't figure you out because, I mean, here's a girl who sits down and tells us about how bad this film is and don't go see it and it's false advertising, and then she gives it an 8? God, I'd hate to see what she gives a 9. No, seriously, this is awful because films like Mortuary don't deserve to exist. I made a film called The Visitant. It takes place in a mortuary, but, I mean, it was a lot more classier than Mortuary could ever hope to be. I do recommend, though, if you want to go see these types of films, go see them in a drive-in or something where you can get in for cheaper, or go see them at the special discount theaters, you know, where you can get in for 50 cents after 5. Right, the low-rent district. And I think that it's wonderful, but I really don't recommend Mortuary or any of those types of films, because you gotta just, here's the way to do it, gang. Just look at your newspaper and any films that's not publicized highly or whatever that's playing at a drive-in, there you go. Don't see them, because you know they're gonna be bad, and why waste your money? I mean, hey, let's face it. People only run these films in drive-ins anyway because the management knows nobody's going to be watching the films. I mean, people go to the drive-ins for other reasons, right?
Hello, Paul and Paul Met Cars. This is the Music Maker out of beautiful Encino, California. Sound familiar? This is Canon Target, and I saw a movie called Mortuary. I mean, usually I like these kind of movies, you know, the stupid kind of like movies with the psychotic killer that goes after your basic high school student, you know, and threatens the town, but this one just takes the cake. I mean, it was the stupidest movie I've ever seen. Usually these things I find entertaining because they are stupid, but this went beyond stupid, and I just can't believe that some of these films like this, people actually think to make a profit on it. I mean, I just don't understand where, you know, Paul, you probably know something that I don't as far as this. I mean, maybe it's like for benefit, I don't know what the hell it is. Maybe they're just giving the actors a break or something. Shit, I don't know. But it was the biggest waste of $4 or $5 in my entire movie-going career. So, anyway, I guess that's about it as far as movies. I usually don't get around to seeing too many movies unless they're really poor, because I like to see poor movies. But anyway, if you want to give a call to On Target, it's 343-1389. And I guess that's about it for this week. So I'll be speaking to you all very soon. This is Canon Target saying, have a great day. Bye-bye.
And this is Paul Mack saying, once again, thanks for calling. And don't forget, once again, to call Ken's line at 343-1389 in Canoga Park. And also, there's some information here I just received from the staff, and that is Ken's line will be changing as of Monday, September 19th, 1983. You can call him at 343-1389. That's 343-1323 in Canoga Park. So that's the new on-target number. Okay, and another thing, we just heard from Jerry Tarzana, but we're going to hear from her again because we love her so much, and she's got the sweetest voice we've ever heard around here. So we're going to run her comment from this week. That was her comment from last week. Here she is.
Hi, this is Jerry Tarzana. I didn't get to hear last week's tape. I'm sorry, but I saw Class, and it was so much better than I thought it would be. Those two guys from Chicago who do movie reviews on TV, they said that it was terrible, and the sex scenes were awkward, and they thought there shouldn't have been Jacqueline Bisset in the movie and everything, but I thought it was very good. And I think both guys are so cute, especially Andrew McCarthy. And a hello to Paul, and to Dave and Brian Nobody Home, and Ken on Target, and have a nice week, everybody. Goodbye.
Well, sorry, Paul, I don't have a movie for you this week. I wanted to go see Strange Brew up at the UA in North Hollywood, but those assholes still had Mr. Mom planned. So we'll just have to wait until next week before I can give you my new movie review. I'll probably go see Strange Invaders, or maybe even Strange Brew if I can find it anywhere. That's about it. Your movie line's great.
Hello, this is Bill from Biphone, the computerized directory. Here are the top five films currently playing as of 1:30 p.m. on Friday. This week's highest marks go to Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders is followed by Cabaret, Return of the Jedi, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and finally, War Games. If your computer isn't talking to Biphone, call 213-474-2220. This week's worst film is Pauline at the Beach. Other tragedies are Hercules, Puberty Blues, Pink Flamingos, and Jaws 3. Don't worry about Jaws 3. It's not showing in 3D anymore. That's it for this week.
Yes, there's a new good film that everyone should see. And it's Pier Paolo Pasolini's last film. And it's called Salo. It's going to be playing in your papers, so look for it. It's about four ugly men who corrupt 12 teenagers, boys and girls. And it was banned in England. Quite interesting movie from what I hear. You should check it out. I will be checking it out this week and giving another review later. This is Dave Van Nuys.
Which is not to be confused with David of Burbank. Susie, have you seen the movie he's talking about?
No, I haven't. Have you, Kathy?
No, not really, but...
Well, I don't think I've seen it, but I think there's some galactic guy in here who has... Mike, buddy!
Have you seen the movie, Mike?
I don't understand. I don't understand you. Let me stick this fish in my ear.
He's sticking a fish in his ear.
I think we got him from high.
No, it's a fish is in your ear. Have you seen the movie? What is he talking about?
I don't know. I spend a lot of times on my skull, you know?
Wait a minute. Hey, Michael, obviously you don't remember the film, but...
He doesn't remember.
Our dearest Susie here has a question to ask you, sir.
Why do you have towels?
Towels.
I told you already. I stole it from a hotel in Beetlejuice 5.
Is that up there, like, in the outer space?
I think you call it the Orion constellation, I believe. I don't know.
What?
Next comment.
Buddy!
My goodness. Well, hello there, Paul. You're probably listening to me on the monitor. I hate leaving comments. I know people are listening, but hey, that's okay. You can just kick back and listen to me make a fool of myself, okay? So I'm going to try to do a decent take here the first time, okay? So here we go. In 3, 2...
Whoops, sorry, out of time.
Just kidding.
Do you remember me? Well, I don't know if you do or not, but I saw the movie Nightmares a while back ago, and I just had to say I think it's one of the funniest horror movies that I have seen. The way the plot is written, the way it's produced on screen, I mean, to me, I thought it was a crack-up, and so did half the theater. We almost got kicked out for being so rowdy. I mean, everybody was throwing in little comments here and there to each little situation in the movie, and just having an absolute blast. But that's not to say that your crowd will be just as hyper as we were, but if you want to see a halfway decent horror movie and get a good laugh, especially on episode 4, go see Nightmares, okay? And, Paul, I think you're doing a hell of a job out there, and keep it up. Anyway, this has been a little film review from John of La Habra.
To dream. What is the fine line between dreams and nightmares? Between nightmares and reality?
I am the Bishop of Baton.
Awesome! It's only a dream.
Nightmare. Some of them wake up. With you, Nightmares. From Universal Pictures, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parents.
Okay, Nightmares, the motion picture. We're all going to get nightmares from this gang because I saw it. Aren't you impressed?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, and did anybody else in the room see it?
No.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you all about it. It's an interesting film. However, I think they should have dubbed it Twilight Zone the Movie Part 2 because it was just about like that. And they had 4 segments.
Hey, what is your problem?
He's laughing at me because he thinks I'm losing it. I'm not losing this review. I have it under control fully.
You're doing fine.
Tell us about Nightmares.
Okay, Nightmares, a motion picture, is rated R. And... Rated R, yes, restricted. So that means all you GURPLs under 17 can't go see it.
That's what you think.
Ah, yeah, you're going to take your boyfriends into the drive-ins, right? Right, okay, anyway. Okay, here we go, and I thought it was a lot of fun. However, I think you can enjoy it. I recommend you to see it. You can enjoy it more if you go with a crowd of people who are, like, totally off the wall and ad-libbers. You know, like when you get 50 Robin Williams sitting in the audience, it's just like, oh, look out. Don't open the door. There is a monster. And then there's the famous scene. There's the famous scene where the car. Oh, don't start the car. It will explode. Look out, the car. Are you finished now? Okay. Now let's tell everybody where we can see it at, and I'm sure they'll all be happy to know that, right, Suze?
Yeah. Okay, you can go to the Westwood General Cinema, AFCO, 4750711, or in Hollywood at the Hollywood Pacific, 4644111.
David here from Burbank is going to continue the tradition of giving us these numbers that none of you write down anyway. Right, Dave?
That's right, the tradition. You can see it also in Northridge at the Pacific's Northridge Cinema. The number for that is 993-1711. You can also see it in Sherman Oaks at the Human Oaks Gallery, you know?
Yeah, I know.
At the GCC, Sherman Oaks Cinema. What does GCC stand for?
I don't know. It just stands for something other than movies.
Give me the mic. Okay. You can see it in Sherman Oaks at the GCC.
You said that.
Sherman Oaks Cinema. I love it.
Anyway, put down.
I'm going to give you the number. 986 9660.
Okay. Anyway, yeah.
And Mike, you never did tell me why you're carrying around that strange towel. Could it be, I don't know, because the towel is about the most massively useful thing an interstellar hitchhiker can have?
Something like that, yeah.
By the way, why do you have the fish in your ear, Mike?
That's basically a translator. Here, read about it in this book.
The babel fish is small, yellow, leech-like, and probably the oddest thing in the universe. It feeds on brainwave energy, absorbing all unconscious frequencies and then excreting telepathically a matrix formed from the conscious frequencies and nerve signals picked up from the speech centers of the brain. The practical upshot of which is that if you stick one in your ear, you can instantly understand anything sent to you in any form of language. The speech you hear decodes the brainwave matrix. Now, it is such a bizarrely improbable coincidence that anything so mind-bogglingly useful could evolve purely by chance that some thinkers have chosen to see it as a final, clinching proof of the non-existence of God. The argument goes something like this. I refuse to prove that I exist as God, for proof denies faith, and without faith I am nothing. But, says man, the babel fish is a dead giveaway, isn't it? It proves you exist, therefore you don't. QED. Oh dear, says God, I hadn't thought of that, and promptly vanishes in a puff of logic. Oh, that was easy, says man, and for an encore he proves that black is white, and gets killed on the next zebra crossing. Most leading theologians claim that this argument is a load of dingo's kidneys, but that didn't stop Ulan Khalufin making a small fortune when he used it as the central theme of his best-selling book. Well, that about wraps it up for God. Meanwhile, the poor babel fish, by effectively removing all barriers of communication between different cultures and races, has caused more and bloodier wars than anything else in the history of creation.
What an extraordinary book.
Yes, this is Gary, Observatory GB. How are you out there, Movie Line listeners? Well, I just went to see the movie Strange Brew, and what a good movie that was. If you want to see any movie, go and see that one. Definitely worth every penny of the admission fee. Recommended very highly on the Observatory scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best. I rate Strange Brew a 9. This has been Gary, Observatory GB, with a comment. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Jeff from Burbank, and I recently saw Fire News. I thought it was a very, very bad movie. It was produced by who else? Ralph Bakshi. He also did Lord of the Rings and made a travesty of that one. The animation was passable at best with terrible characters. Characters did not move unless they were actually in the middle of the action. The storyline was basic, just good against evil, simple bullshit. And it basically was not a very good movie. And I'm not looking forward to any more Ralph Bakshi movies. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 3.
And now, Guy Gooden presents another memorable scene from the greatest science fiction movie of all time, Star Wars.
Oh, Artie, now with the Imperial forces shooting laser beams at everyone and the rebels fighting, oh, I've never been in a spot like this. How about yourself? Oh, RT-22. I don't know how we're going to get out of this spot. What do you think we should do? Well, that's easy for you to say.
Stay tuned for another memorable scene from the greatest science fiction movie of all time, Star Wars.
It's time to say goodbye, gang.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, we've got to say goodbye. Hey, I want to thank all you guys for coming down, but wait a minute, what happened to Milton Gunsberg?
I know. I told everybody I was going to bring down the whole gang. I was going to have Milton with me. I was going to have Susie and Kathy. I was going to have Mike. I'll tell you, I want to apologize.
Yes, you better apologize.
Because Milton had all kinds of things. This is important. Now,
yes, let David finish his spiel here. Go ahead, Dave.
Milton, he had so many things.
And Michael's got a
Do you know he's fighting for his American citizenship?
He's what?
He's fighting for his American citizenship.
For 30 minutes.
Wait, let's listen to this.
It's true, I swear to God.
Tell us about Milton.
He's really bogged down. First of all, he's making his own demo tapes because he's a musician.
Yeah.
Plus, he's fighting for his citizenship.
You're kidding.
And he's all bogged down with these things, and he's going to be several months before he'll be free to do anything that's entertaining.
So Milt, baby, will be with us soon.
That's right.
All
right. I was late.
Listen, gang.
I had things I had
I know
to do.
You got to get out of here. Michael's got a spaceship he's got to catch.
That's right.
Mike, it's been a pleasure. Girls, hasn't it been fun?
Yes. Oh, yes,
especially since
great.
I had the guys waiting for God knows how long.
Yes, that's right. Michael, here comes your ship now.
If you'll excuse me, people, I gotta go whoosh.
Whoosh!
Okay, he just went whoosh, and Dave and Susie and Kathy, we'll see you later. That's
okay,
funny.
Bye!
This tape will repeat momentarily.